Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Because you have made this mission possible through your donations, but mostly through your prayers of support and safety for our little troop. As Michael mentioned last week, Satan is relentless. He doesn't play fair. During our 12-day stay in Poland, 9 out of the 10 of us were distracted from our mission, either through physical distractions or distractions involving our families back home. But we were determined to stay the course, thanks to the Lord. When I learned of the opportunity to go to Poland, I was excited to witness firsthand how the country of Poland had opened its doors and hearts to welcome the Ukrainian refugees. But this struck me to my heart, for my paternal grandfather's parents had fled this very land 130 years ago from Kamianets-Podolsky, Ukraine. They were avoiding religious persecution because my great-grandfather was a teaching rabbi. Our journey started Wednesday, September 7th, leaving from Chicago here, and landed Thursday afternoon, September 8th, in Warsaw, Poland. Our troop consisted of 10 members of DHF-supported churches in Pittsfield, Milwaukee, and Decatur, Illinois, Mineral Springs, Virginia, and Gainesville, Florida. On Friday, we visited a preschool for Ukrainian children housed at St. Thomas Catholic Church. The foundation supporting this preschool and 30 others like it in Warsaw is run by a gentleman by the name of Jacek Weigel. The school employs Ukrainian mothers and grandmothers as teachers, hot lunch distributors, and custodians. Two groups of 75 kids each are taught, cared for, and fed here each day at a cost of $4 per child per day. Some of the Ukrainian mothers had not even heard from their husbands since they had left in February. And consequently, some of the children knew that their daddies wouldn't be coming home, but still some did not know. One group of pre-K kids sang a Ukrainian folk song for us, and then they presented us each with handmade cards and drawings as their way of thanking us for coming. The mom on the left with her little boy was one of the mothers who had not heard from her husband. It was quite an emotional day for us. Furniture at this school and other learning centers we visited during our stay was purchased with your DHF offerings through IKEA. IKEA had stopped production of their regular line of furniture to build pint-sized chairs, tables, cubicles, and shelving just for these little displaced children. Jacek also showed us a recently purchased building, which was formerly a gym and workout center, and it'll have the capacity to hold 300 more students. First Christian Church of Pittsfield ministered to the needs of these preschool kids with $500 for their meals. And $500 is equivalent to about 2,300 Polish zloty. On Saturday, we attended a Pioneer Bible Translators Conference in Warsaw. I remembered that Roger Storms was his visit this summer and his passion for the Pioneer Bible Translators. This group is intentional in their quest to recruit more Polish and Ukrainian sign language pastors as they continue to reach out to the deaf and hard of hearing population. On Saturday, Well, that was Saturday. On Sunday, we attended the Christian Fellowship Church North. Afterwards, some of us visited the Museum of History of the Polish Jews, and several maps that we saw on display showed the city where my ancestors had fled, and that says Kamianets Podolski. On Monday, we met with more Ukrainian and Polish pastors. The gentleman on the left is Dmitry Bodiu. He was the first pastor captured by the Russians and held captive for 8 days in a cold, blood-stained cell. He fasted and prayed for that whole time and lost about 23 pounds, he said, but that was all right, but that he was not harmed during his interrogation, for he had dual citizenship in the United States. They thought he was the CIA and tried to recruit him. Anyway, Dmitry is from Melitopol, and his church has supported the Ukrainian efforts by bringing out hundreds of Ukrainians by the truckload into the safe haven of Poland. Their church has also purchased washers and dryers to help clean the refugees and gave them provisions to all who were in need. The main points that we gathered from these Polish and Ukrainian pastors that they wanted us to take back with us was that the greatest need regarding the Ukrainian war is Jesus Christ. The second point they wanted us to remember that the war has not stopped. The end is not in sight. Please stop, don't stop helping. Remember them and their plight. Dmitry told us that 80% of the pastors in Russia are from Ukraine. Their mission is to rebuild the church, for they're determined to raise new leaders for the many new converts. First Christian Church of Pittsfield ministered to the efforts of Dmitry Bodiu and his church with $1,000. And it is quite evident that Dmitry and his church, called the Word of Life Church in Melitopol, put this verse to life. Matthew 25, 35 and 36. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Tuesday morning, we visited the reception center managed by the Christian Fellowship Church South and Dobrochinich. The Dobrochinich missions translates good works. The center's warehouse still has pallets of donated food and everyday supplies. And it was also evident that the Samaritan's Purse is very well involved with this relief effort. We saw lots of Samaritan's Purse boxes. They had pallets of cleaning laundry supplies for cleaning the outer body, but they also had Bibles to be distributed for cleansing of the soul. The reception center employs a young Ukrainian woman by the name of Tatiana to run the facility as they distribute clothing, food, and toys for the young ones. And these toys are part of the many boxes of donated items received through the Christian Fellowship South Church. These next couple of slides show children's centers are available for playtime while the moms choose their donated food items and clothing and even toys for their little ones. Every corner of this facility is utilized. Even Polish lessons are offered to the Ukrainian adults and young people. Is this where you insert that? There's a Pole teaching the Polish, whatever. That's a Michael. Anyway, continuing, we were able to meet a couple that had escaped from Mariupol. We met Irina and Rantik. They had just left a few months ago because they had been hunkered down in their basement for 3 months, but were finally forced to leave when they witnessed one of their own street vendors lose both of his legs in a bombing attack. Irina told us that her eyes had seen too much death. They were able to walk out of the city, but were finally trucked to safety in Poland. Irina's translator's name is Anya. She escaped from Kharkiv. In February, she awakened on her 23rd birthday to the sound of sirens and bombing. And she prayed, and we prayed with her, that she could awaken on her 24th birthday once again in her hometown. The other translator, his name was Marika, and I have lost her page. Anyway, Marika was able to escape Mariupol as well. She and her husband and their three children came. He was able to come because of the limit of three children. If they had one or two or no children, the gentleman had to stay behind if they were of age. But he got to come with Marika because one of their children has a disability. Marek is the pastor at this church, and he gave her a surprise birthday cake with the candles that don't extinguish. And she laughed and tried and tried and tried. Finally, her little boy got to help her. But then she exclaimed to us, "These candles that won't extinguish are like the Ukrainian army." And what's my next slide? Because the sheet's not here. There we are. Okay. Tuesday afternoon, we visited a Polish government owned convention center that was referred to as the Warehouse of Good. Originally, the center was ready to house 30,000 refugees, but at its peak only needed to shelter 12,000. At the time of our visit, there were 3,000. And just recently, the Polish government has notified the people that they will no longer be able to stay free of charge. This does not mean that they will be charged a fee, but they will have to find other accommodations. And an email that I just received this morning, Roddick, who is the CEO of this Dobrochinich, the gentleman on your left, said that the refugees are squeezed into one hall at this time. And he did not give me a number, but I'm sure it's several hundred. They still do have daycares, but more and more children are showing up. These children at this warehouse, they sang for us, they recited for us, and they danced for us. They were so pleased to have our presence. We got so many hugs that day. It was just uplifting for us. We were able to sneak a peek into some of their living quarters. This would have been one of the halls that they were just speaking about earlier. They also had a registration room where they would register their families to be accountable. They would either receive or return their pillows and blankets. Some of the handiwork that the kids gave us, once again, were personalized drawings and cards of thanks. The word Pani above my name is a polite form of saying either Mr., Miss, or Mrs., because they didn't know who Cindy Chamberlain was. So anyway, it was just a polite form of saying lady here. Thank you. And I got another little pretty card that was personalized. But this sunshine card was on display, was sent from a fourth grader in Palo Alto, California. I sent a picture of this card to the young student's school principal. Long story short, the principal and the student's mother were so appreciative to see how one little ray of sunshine could make it to children 7,000 miles away and back again. They all want to continue to bless and encourage the children of this center. Praise the Lord. On Wednesday morning, we traveled north to Camp Estrada. Their chapel and cabins were used to house refugees right from the start of the war. There's Warsaw and then up to Estrada. Currently, this supply tent was empty, but at its peak, it was filled with provisions for the refugees for many, many months. Shipping containers were brought in which were designed to be used as sleeping quarters, showers, restrooms, laundry facilities, and they were fitted with heaters and air conditioner units. The containers were to be returned to the company which loaned them from the camp, but since the war had escalated, I'm not sure that is the plan, but once again, the email I received this morning said the containers have been broken down and be returned. One of the units could sleep six. Several of these were set up to sleep six, but some were as large to accommodate a family of 11. The cabins that are on the campus are being winterized with new windows and doors. The cabins are divided into two sleeping quarters with up to six bunks per division. Imagine staying 6 months in a camp. That night, we traveled down to Lublin to meet with Henrik. He was the pastor of the Helm Baptist Church. Henrik explained how his church's warehouse in Helm has shipped supplies across the border to Ukraine, which is only 15 miles away. That's as close as Wayne Kent wanted to get us to get to the border. It was 15 miles. That was fine. During the height of the distribution period, cars and vans and trucks showed up from 10 different countries. For the first 3 months, the kitchen staff of the Helm Baptist Church worked in shifts feeding refugees by the hundreds. Most of the supplies at the warehouse are now purchased compared to tons of donated items earlier in the war. In a couple of these pictures, we saw salt and some kind of a meal. And then on the right, good old sausage and beans. Inside the warehouse are the mission statements. The one on the left that translates, "We have to pray for Ukraine." Not sure if you can read it, but there's the English and then the Polish, the English and the Polish. And then on the right is a mission statement from SIND International. It's also an interdenominational, multinational organization reaching out to those in need. We were able to witness one of the vans being loaded. A van this size can hold 33 pallets of supplies. He was getting ready to take that to churches for distribution in Ukraine. This was also the church in Helm that Wayne Kent had showed us the pictures. There were one at that one time were 138 sleeping bags on the pews. But currently the church is only housing 12 people. As you can see on the left, their mattresses back to back to back or side by side. But then they had like 60 others in storage just in case. Henrik was stressing that he couldn't believe that they continue to have the energy to help. But he said, "But we are vigilant because we are God's hope for Ukraine." Friday, we drove west to Krakow to experience the war camps at Auschwitz and Birkenau. These horror camps are reflected through today's atrocities in Bucha and Mariupol. It's such a senseless slaughter of civilians. As Michael pointed out last week, Satan hates God and his church. He has poisoned the minds of those responsible for the persecution of the Jews 80 years ago, and he's poisoning the minds of the leaders of Russia today. This next picture is show one of two pits in which human ashes had been poured of those who had died in the chambers, gas chambers. The memorial markers are written, okay, I didn't write this one down, but it says, to the memory of the men, women, and children who fell victim to the Nazi genocide, here lie their ashes, may their souls rest in peace. These four markers are in Polish, English, Hebrew, and Yiddish. Saturday morning, we headed back north to Tamasu, to the Pro-Am camp. The Pro-Am camp housed refugees also. The banner leading into the camp, it translates parade. And the Solidarity with Ukraine is a European Union support group. At the Pro-Am camp, they've had 3,500 youth and families participate in their camps annually. This past year, 650 decisions were made to follow Jesus Christ. The Pro-Am's worship band, Exodus 15's ministry, has reached 100,000 people. And they do have a U.S. support ministry in Louisville, Kentucky. The refugees stayed there on the camps, in their on the grounds, and in their cabins. Throughout their grounds, they do have a marketplace and animals when they have the journey to Bethlehem each year. And then the next slide is more cabins. This is really a very well-kept grounds here. Pro-Am owns a hotel in town, but they closed it to the public in order to house some of the Ukrainian families. We stayed at the hotel that evening, and the accommodations were very minimal. It kind of reminded me of a state college dorm in the 70s. Okay, that's how old I am. The children were scampering around the halls in their feet, squealing and giggling. Some were huddled together on the steps near outlets so they could play their little handheld games. Plus, the Wi-Fi was better in the halls than in the rooms. They were giggling and whispering with their friends, cuddling their baby dolls and stuffed animals. And this evening was the hardest of all for me, as I was caught in the middle of their displacement. They were trying to make sense of it all. But I knew that in less than 36 hours, I would be on my way back home, 4,900 miles away. Yet they had no idea when they could possibly get back to their home, which could be as close as 300 to 500 miles away. Sunday morning, we ate breakfast with a few families and noticed Bibles on the windowsills for the taking or just to read during their own family worship time. And this book was provided by the Gideons. There's a blue and yellow heart in the lobby of the hotel, which is signed by the Ukrainian refugees who had called the Pro-Am Hotel their home away from home. The First Christian Church ministered to the needs of the Ukrainian refugees staying at the hotel with $500 to go toward their meals. In Matthew 25, 39 and 40, our Lord answers the questions of the righteous. And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. So as Michael usually says, I need to wrap this up. So regarding my takeaways on our discovery mission, I feel that my calling to go to Poland was the strongest pull that I had ever felt. I suppose it was the family connection, but also, as we were just discussing in Thursday's Bible study class, it was empathy that I was feeling for the Ukrainian refugees. Also, I felt that the world had grown smaller during my stay, as it was crossing, we were crossing the language barriers and worshiping the same God in song and in the translated word. Sorry. Anyway, I would like to further our relationship with Dobrochinich, because this group also partners with 36 other churches and parachurch organizations through their charity activities, humanitarian need, children child care, and accommodations, whether long or short term. But it was basically bringing us back to bringing verse 40 to life. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. And as the Polish and Ukrainian pastors pleaded, remember us, continue to pray, and remember the one who sent you.
One of the things that's it's quite amazing, and as Cindy went, her purpose was to bring back some understanding, to do kind of a fact-finding and follow-up on behalf of our churches, and she certainly has done that. I think one of the things that's amazing to us that we should understand is that the church has already an established infrastructure to minister to the needs of people, and that can't be overlooked. And so certainly we have the opportunity to have relationships with those churches. Now, at our congregational meeting, we discussed stepping up in our area of giving towards missions. And certainly this is one way. I know that our media and our society has an attention span of about 0.5 seconds. And even though things are no longer out in front of the news, doesn't mean that the suffering of individuals hasn't ceased. And not only are there needs in Ukraine, in Poland, we should take example of the generosity of the Polish church. The Christians in Poland, the Christians throughout Europe, who are stepping out of their comfort zone to minister to those in need. Cindy is gone. She's seen that. She's come back and she's shared that. And so the challenge for us is to learn. The challenge for us is to be inspired to step out of our comfort zones and consider the needs of those around us. Obviously, we don't have war currently here on our soil. However, there are an awful lot of individuals who have been displaced. And perhaps we can find our way during times of disaster, during times of need, during times of crisis, no matter what they are, to be as we have read there. Let's all read verse 40 together. And the king will answer them, everybody together, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. One of the things that has united them, and invite you to turn your attention towards the screen for a time of worship, and how I really appreciate as Cindy came back and shared these things, and we kind of taught some of our kids one of the worship songs that they knew. So we're going to watch this, and then as we come to the end, let's all worship together. So go ahead, and if you'd please play that last video.
Заспівайме.
great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Let's pray.
The First Christian
Father
Church
in heaven, we just
is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org. Or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.